Alrighty, if you'll take your Bible, and we are going to turn back. Brother Huff here read the scripture reading for the message, but we are also going to read a little bit more. Being Christmas, you know, what's better than to read about the birth of Christ, since that's what we're celebrating. So before that, I just need to prove a point. So I need everybody to go to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, that's in the Old Testament. Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, so just a couple books back in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 2, Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 6. I just need to prove a quick point to you that Santa does exist. So, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6, if you're there, say amen. Ho, ho, ho. All right. Verse 6 says, "Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the city of the north." And that, my friends, is proof that Santa is at the North Pole right now. Just came off of drinking a cup of hot chocolate after delivering presents this morning. So in case you're ever wondering if Santa exists or you start doubting, just look up Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6, and have faith, my friends. All right, go to Matthew chapter 1. That's just a joke. I hope you realize that, but go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1. Now you don't have to go too much further because we were just in Zechariah there. Matthew chapter number 1. And we are going to read very quickly something we read this morning in Sunday school, but we're going to read it again for this message here. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. I'm going to read that real quick. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get into the sermon this morning. So Zechariah again, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. "And she said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, those scriptures are about the birth of Jesus Christ, which is why we're celebrating today. That's why we have Christmas. That is the reason for Christmas. But this morning, I want to preach to you a quick sermon. We won't be long. The breakfast table has not yet been served, but it will be this afternoon. So we have to be quick because the steak and the chip beef gravy is calling, so we'll be quick this morning, but I just want to preach a quick sermon to you that I entitled, "Why Satan Loves Christmas." Why Satan Loves Christmas. Let's pray, and we will get into the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank for this day, Lord. Thank for the opportunity to just have a day to breathe, Lord, a day to just be able to serve and bless you with, Lord. Help us today, in the day that we celebrate your birth, Lord, help us to keep our focus on you, Lord. Thank you so much for what you did, Lord, coming to this earth and saving us from our sins, Lord, and dying on the cross for us, Lord. Help us to celebrate your birth today respectfully, Lord, and praising and glorifying you, Lord. Just help me as I preach. Help me to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and emptied of myself, Lord. Just help us to have a great day and a great Christmas, Lord, with you and of our focus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to give much of an introduction. We'll get moving quite quick here, but I'm just going to go right into point number one. Like I said, the sermon title is "Why Satan Loves Christmas." So we're going to figure out what Satan wants Christmas to be. What Satan wants Christmas to be. Let's look up a couple verses about Satan and what his goals are, as you know, who he is. So let's first go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're just going to read a couple of scriptures here. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 8 says, 1 John 3, 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For his purpose, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's why Jesus came and was born, because the Satan has sinneth from the beginning, and he's a sinner, and what does he want besides to get Christ out of the picture? John, now the Gospel of John, chapter number 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44 here real quick. We'll read this and then we will get into it. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, For ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what does Satan want Christmas to be? Point number one under what Satan wants Christmas to be is Christless. Christless. Satan wants Christmas to be Christless. Everything that Satan does, everything that Satan's goal is, everything that Satan wants for us is to oppose Christ, is to oppose Jesus, is to oppose our God, to do the opposite of what he wants. You know, Christ doesn't care. Satan doesn't care if you do, if you're a moral person. He just doesn't want you to do the work of God. He doesn't want you to be a Christian. He doesn't want you to have salvation. Everything that Satan does, he's opposing Christ. For instance, in Christmas, things that he does, you know, you'll see a sign or you'll be driving down the street, and what will you see? You won't see Christmas, you'll see Xmas. Satan wishes to be God, so he tries to take God out of everything we know. You know, down in Kentucky a few years ago, Pastor Fugit had to, he got a group of about 10,000 people together, and they had to go down to the capital of Kentucky because the governor had decided that he was going to change the Christmas tree to a holiday tree, and they were no longer going to call it a Christmas tree. After about 6 hours of Christmas carols and preaching, he decided that it would be a Christmas tree. But, you know, everything that Satan does and everything that Satan wants doesn't have Christ in it, doesn't have God in it. He wants Christ out of the church. He wants Christ out of the school. You know, he wants Christ out of everywhere. But Christ is the focus. Christ is the reason for the season. But we'll get to that later. Satan wishes to be God, so he gets rid of everything that God is. In the school, he took out Bible and prayer. And, you know, the 100 years ago, the key book, you know, the textbook for school was not a history book with false history. It wasn't evolution. It wasn't a science book. It was the Bible. That was the textbook in school. Prayer was the way we started school. Prayer and pledging allegiance and standing up and putting your hand over your heart for that, by the way, and respecting the nation. But besides that, that's not the point. But prayer and Bible were the key things in our schools, which they've taken away. Like I said, people were trying to take away Christmas tree and the word Christmas, and it's just happy holidays now. I don't like the term happy holidays. I like Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. But that's just me, because Christmas is what we're focused on, and we're focused on Christ. Christ is the center of everything that we are. He wants to make number one underneath what Satan wants Christmas to be, like I said, was Christless. Number two, he wants to commercialize Christmas. Commercialize. Satan wants us to focus on the fun, not Christ. He wants us to focus on the fun of Christmas, not Christ. Now, I read here John chapter 8, verse 44, and I'm going to read it one more time. You don't have to turn back to it. Ye are of your father the devil. Ye, us, we're of the our father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. You know, if we'll do wrong, we'll take Christ out of Christmas, we'll commercialize it ourselves. We'll, you know, for instance, the biggest thing is, you know, I don't know about you guys, but going shopping this week was the worst thing I had ever decided to do. Because everybody's out. That's what they want to do. You know, go shopping. They've turned Christmas into giftmas instead of Christmas, even though there's nothing wrong with giving. We'll talk about that later, though. There's nothing wrong with that. But under commercialized, one thing that I wrote down was the word amuse. You know, people are into amusement. People are into entertainment. People are into, you know, what can I, you know, I want to be entertained, you know. So how the Satan does it is he finds a way to amuse us. He finds a way to entertain us. If you don't know what the definition of amuse is, here's the definition of amuse: to entertain the mind agreeably, to occupy without thinking. So amuse, I'm sorry, but it turns your brain into mush. You know, amusement, you know, going to do something that you don't have to put any effort into. For instance, watching TV, you know, for instance, Satan wants to amuse us with the things of Christmas. Santa Claus, for instance, who is real, as we saw in Zechariah. But besides that point, you know, all these movies, all these things of Christmas, there's nothing wrong with Christmas movies. There's nothing wrong with the fun that we like to have with Christmas. But if that turns to be our focus and our center point, there is something wrong with it. Satan wants to entertain and amuse men to get their minds on carnal things instead of heavenly things. He wants to turn us from being focused on the things of Christ, the center of Christ. You know, Christmas is a time to praise and glorify God, a time to thank God for coming to this earth and dying for our sins and being born. You know, that's what Christmas is about. It's not about the presents. It's not about, you know, the songs and the main focus of Christmas is Christ, is Jesus coming to die for our sins. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. We'll get to it really quick and read that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Here we go, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, "Neither give any place to the devil." Short, simple, and to the point. You know, if we let Satan creep into our holiday, he will creep in and he will take control of it. And I don't know about you, but that's what he's done with Christmas. You know, he's taken control of it. You know, he's turned it from a time where we praise and glorify God to a time of everything but Christ. Taking it out. If you look up, here we go. That's what Satan wants Christmas to be. He wants it to be Christless, commercialized, without Christ, nothing to do with the focus of Jesus' birth and to celebrate it for what it's for. You know, more and more these days, you know, I love Christmas music. I love Christmas music. I listen to Christmas music in July. I listen to Christmas music January 1st. Christmas ends. Christmas starts on the 24th, 25th. And it starts on the 26th and then comes back to the 25th. It goes all year round. Christmas is good year round, by the way, folks. But I love Christmas music. But if you look at the Christmas music of today, it's pitiful. It really is. It's not praising and glorifying God in the Christmas music. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of, you know, fun music for Christmas, jingle bells, maybe some fun songs. I don't know if this is right or wrong or not, but every once in a while I, on my church bus in Kentucky, I let them sing Jingle Bells for fun. Nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But, you know, if I take it and I sing Jingle Bells five times and don't sing any godly, glorifying songs, that might be fun, and that's fun and good. But if Christ doesn't become the center of it, then there's something wrong with it. So that's why Satan wants Christmas to be, commercialized, Christless, without God. Now, what Christmas really is, what Christmas really is, if you go and you look up the definition of Christmas, this is what you'll find. This is what the dictionary still says. The dictionary says the annual Christian festival of celebrating Christ's birth. You know, so that is what Christmas is. Even, you know, your regular, that's not the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is the Bible dictionary, which is a great dictionary to use. This is just Google search, what is Christmas? That's Google search, what is Christmas? You know, it's the celebration of Jesus' birth. And that's what we should view it as, and that's what we should take it as. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time to remember what Jesus did for us. He was born in a manger, and we'll talk about it this evening, but he was born a servant. He was born in a lowly manger. Even then, babies, that's not how babies were born, you know. Back then, you know, it wasn't like today. They weren't born in a hospital. But even for then, being born in a manger was lowly. It's a time of remembrance, remembering what Jesus did for us, remembering the sacrifice that he made for us. The God of creation, the Almighty God, came to earth and became man and became flesh and had to deal with temptations, had to deal with wrong. He did that for us. It's a time to remember those things. It's a time of reflection, I believe. You know, you get close to the end of the year. It's a time of reflection. You know, we celebrate Jesus' birth, you know, and I look at it as, you know, what have we done to let people know about our Jesus through the year? You know, it's a time we have this week. This is the week of remembrance. It's a week to remember what I've done this year, this following week, to remember what I did this year and to make goals for next year. So from today till the 1st, I should be getting ready to have a good new year. So it's a time of remember, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of praise. It's a time of praise and glorifying God. It's a time all day long we should be praising and glorifying God on this day. We should do it every day. But today, you know, we celebrate it. It's the main day. So today we should celebrate God and praise and glorify Him for what He did for us. It's a time to spread the news. It's a time to spread the news. Go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 17. Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it's what Brother Huff read there for us. So chapter 2, verse 17 of Luke, really quick, and we will read that. Alrighty, here we go. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds told others. And then we see in verse 20 also, the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That was the time of praise there. They praised and glorified God for what they had seen, and they told abroad what they had seen. We should be spreading the news. You know, there's nothing better you can do. I don't have a gospel solid rock track on me, but, you know, that's bad. But, you know, you should be handing out tracts everywhere you go. You should be telling the news everywhere you go. These are a cool tract that our church made to celebrate Christmas. But, you know, year round, just giving out tracts, telling others about Christ. You know, today's the time. I think that this season right now is the best time to go soul winning. I think this season right now is the best time to tell others about Christ. You know why? People, unless it's the 2 days before Christmas where they're on that shopping frenzy, where they're scared to death and stressed out, if it's a little bit before then, they're friendly, they're nice, they're more open. Come in, have some coffee and cookies, you know, sit down. You know, it's a great time to be able to spread the news. People are a little bit nicer, a little bit more open. You know, and not only that, it's the time that we celebrate Jesus' birth. You know, it's an easy way to get into being able to tell people about Christ, because, you know, every man needs to know. Every man ought to know, and we ought to tell others, you know, about God and about the good news of the gospel. And, you know, I believe that the Bible, I don't know about you guys, maybe you don't believe the same thing that I do, but I believe every word in the Bible was in there for a reason. And it says that they told abroad the saying. Well, it wouldn't say that in there if we're not supposed to take it for what it's worth and use it as an example. For instance, like I said this morning in Sunday school, if we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that means He's God. That means that everything that He says is authoritative and we should listen and go by it. I believe the Bible, everything that's in it, we should listen to. I don't believe that there's one thing wrong with it, but it says that they told abroad what they had heard, and I believe that we should do the same. So what Satan wants Christians to be is commercialized, Christless. What Christmas really is the time that we celebrate Christ's birth, the time of remembrance, a time of reflection, a time to praise and glorify God, and a time to spread good news abroad, spread the gospel. You know, it's a great time to love people. It's a great time to give to people. It's a great time to do those things, and that's what we're going to talk about in point number 3. So that was what Christmas really is. And now what Christmas should be to the Christian. What Christmas should be to the Christian. There is nothing wrong with a little holiday cheer. There is nothing wrong with love and kindness during this season. There is nothing wrong with the season of giving. But when Christians leave the reason for the season, when we leave our first love, when we leave the Savior, when we leave the center of Christmas, which is Christ, we have left Christmas. It's no longer Christmas. It's just another holiday. When Saint Nick is more important than the Savior, there's something wrong with Christmas. We should desire every day, today, this day that we celebrate Christmas, not to let Satan have it, not to let Satan take control of it, but to make sure in this day that Christ knows that He's loved, that Christ knows that we appreciate what He did for us more than anything in this world. I it's unbelievable, the thought of spending an eternity in hell. The thought of it is just, you can't wrap your mind around it. It's mind-blowing that forever you would just burn and never die, that you would just be in pure torment for eternity. But we don't have to be, because the Savior came and died on the cross for us. And today's the day that we celebrate that, and today's the day that we should make Christ the focus of our Christmas. We ought to desire today to focus more on celebrating the birth of Christ than on everything else. There's no wrong reason why we shouldn't give presents to each other. There's no reason why we shouldn't love each other or spread good Christmas cheer or have good fun Christmas music or have fun and some hot chocolate and whatever else we do for Christmas, there's nothing wrong with it. But when we forget about Christ, when Christ is not the center of it, there's something wrong. So I challenge you today to keep Christ in Christmas, to make sure that the center of your day today isn't just Christmas dinner, that your focus of today just isn't giving somebody a present, but today you focus on Christ. Today we ought to make sure that Christ is the center of Christmas. You know, on the way home, it would be a good thing if we all, you know, listened to some Christmas music or maybe turned the radio off and read the birth of Christ out of the scripture. You know, in our family at the house every year, before we open one gift, we open up the Bible to Luke chapter 2 and we read the birth of Christ, because that's what's more important than the presents. Because Christ is more important than the presents. So today, keep Christ in Christmas. Focus on Christ. Make Him what this day is about. Make Him the focus. Love Him today. Praise Him today. Let others know about Him today. You know, some of us are going to see family that we don't get to see often, and some of them are unsaved. Let them know about Christ today. Let them know that Christ loves them and that Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. You know, there's a lot of people that know a lot about Christ, and there's a lot of people that celebrate that this is the day that Christ was born, but they're not even saved. How sad is that? I have a hope. I have hope because I have a Savior. People that aren't saved don't have hope. They have no hope. There's nothing after this life for them besides hell and pure torment for eternity. But I have a hope, and that's in Christ. That's in my Savior that I focus on today and in Christmas. So don't let Satan take Christmas today. Don't let him commercialize it for you and your family. Don't let him make it Christless for you and your family. But celebrate the birth of Christ today. And in all your fun, in your presence, in your food, in everything that you do today, make sure that Christ is in it. Make sure that Christ is the focus of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank for this day. Thank for the opportunity to bless and glorify You, Lord. Just help us today in this season, in this time, that we would make Christ the focus of our Christmas, Lord. That we make You the absolute in our life today, Lord. That we would make You above all others today. That You would be what's important to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. As the pianist begins to play, if you have any, you know, thought in your mind, maybe I haven't had Christ the center of my Christmas as much as I should, or maybe today you just want to decide, you know, I want Christ to be the focus of my Christmas today, and you have any reason that you need to come down and step down to an old-fashioned altar, come on down and go ahead and pray and, you know, make a decision to make sure that Christ is in your Christmas and the focus of your Christmas today.